Resource Network.
Welcome to the Resource Network. I'm Deborah Davis, your host and the director of the Cincinnati Minority Business Assistance Center. The Resource Network will provide you with information to help launch your business and grow your business. Tune in every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. on WCVG 1320 a.m. to learn more about the business resources in your area. The Resource Network, helping you to scale.
Good morning, everybody. This is Dr. J.C. Baker. I'm calling in, or we're calling in today to be able to talk with a very special guest, Amber Twitty. I am your special guest host today in absence of Deborah Davis, who is the Regional Director of Minority Business Assistance Center at the African American Chamber. And our special guest today, Ms. Twitty, owns Dorothy Grace Consulting. Ms. Twitty here has worked in all aspects of community development and planning. She's worked on projects such as rehabilitated housing, highways, community blocks. She's worked with businesses, both large and small, in the areas of organizational development, culture, climate assessment, capacity building, diversity and inclusion, and workforce development. As she created Dorothy Grace Consulting, her number one mission is to be able to help empower individuals to become self-empowered themselves, and to be able to improve the efficiencies and processes of businesses alike. Ms. Twitty here has also been awarded by the mayor here of Cincinnati through Diversity Compliance Coalition of Ohio, and also to serve as the City of Cincinnati Human Services Advisory Committee. So today we would love to be able to welcome in Ms. Amber Twitty. How are you today?
How are you doing? It's sunny outside, so you have to be happy today with all the rain we've been having.
Absolutely. I fully agree. And so every Saturday we come on to be able to talk about business ailments, if you will. My job is to make sure that all businesses remain healthy, whether it's during this COVID-19 crisis or afterwards. And so either way, my job and my goal is to provide an assessment that's going to be able to assist you to grow. So if you don't mind, kind of walk us through, and we'll start with this assessment, just kind of walk us through your business and essentially what are some of your current barriers that you're experiencing?
Sure. So I, as you have eloquently stated, work with both individuals and businesses mainly in the areas of organizational development, workforce development, and economic inclusion. And for those who don't know what economic inclusion is, that's basically working with local, state, or federal units of government, sometimes private sector, but mainly the public projects. And they set inclusion goals for minority, women business, veteran-owned business, small business, and disadvantaged businesses. To have inclusion goals on those projects. So I will work with those, that leadership of that project to help them reach that goal, and that includes monitoring the activities, making sure they are aligned with the current regulations, public reporting, helping to promote the project and assure the businesses that are for the inclusion purposes, that this is a viable contract opportunity, because in the past, the historical standards, it wasn't. It was just on paper. And making sure that there are strategies and processes in place to reach those goals. And personally, I like to exceed those goals. So I have to change mindsets. There's a shift in the industry anyway, and so that's always a challenge, but I welcome it. And those are basically the things that overview of what Dorothy Grace Consulting does. Some of the projects that I've worked on in the past are the Banks development, and that is a major redevelopment of the area between the Red Stadium and the Bingo Stadium on the Ohio Riverfront here in Cincinnati. Then also the Cincinnati Public Schools, when they redid their facility of over 65 schools, I was in phase three of that, helping to get the numbers up, as well as some workforce development aspects of that project. also work on the Portsmouth Bypass, which is a highway that was built up in the Portsmouth area from scratch. So that was interesting. And working with both rural and regional entities to help make that happen. And then one of my things that are dear to my heart is working with veterans, getting them in the logistics industry, where I partner with Don't Count Me Out for that initiative, and also various summer youth employment programs.
Okay, fantastic. And so for those that are not in the Cincinnati area, a lot of what was mentioned there are some very profound development initiatives and efforts that have reshaped this area and this geographical region. It has brought revitalization to the area, and so you've been a really good part of that revitalization, and so thank you so much for that work. I want to begin, because we're going to talk about some specific issues that you have to be able to make your business healthier, and we're also going to talk about some aspects that's going to be able to assist other business owners. But talk to me about some of the barriers that just inherently exist with diversity and inclusion, and looking to be able to create either metrics that allow you to be able to exist and be able to track your progress. And then number two, the willingness of larger corporations to be able to participate with some of the mandates that you're looking to push out.
Okay, so first of all, my main challenge right now really probably started before the COVID pandemic hit, but that really kind of accelerated where, you know, made it even my business more vulnerable. So with my business, this past probably 5-6 months, I've been part of the Executive Business Accelerator through the African American Chamber of Commerce and the Collective Empowerment Group, locally known as CEG. And in that class, we were working on our growth plans over the past 6 months, really taking a deep dive in our business. So as a result of that growth plan, I started instituting things so that I can grow to the next level. So a lot of my work is behind the scenes. I'm usually in a subcontractor position, even though I'm at the table with the primes. And if my business is at a point where it needs to get to that prime position more often. And in order to do that, one of my major problems is technology. So in order to encompass those larger, longer-term projects that I'm seeking, even though I have my processes in place, I need the technology so that I can implement those processes. And with this COVID, that totally kind of turned that upside down. So now I'm kind of at a, like a lot of other businesses, in the area of uncertainty, what can I do? Because there are upcoming opportunities, but I need to be ready. And if I don't have that software, I'm not going to be eligible for those opportunities a couple months down the road.
Okay. And so number one is figuring out how to be able to put yourself in a position to where you can be considered for prime opportunities. Is that correct?
Correct.
So in that case, you suffer from a lot of the same issues that a lot of minority businesses face for one reason or another, is that when you're looking to start out and your competition are some of the more established corporations and entities that's been around and they've kind of set the course for operations or regulation or guidelines, now you have to build your company in such a way that allows you to be able to compete at that level. And that can be difficult as you're starting out or as you're looking to be able to grow the company. And so one thing that you're mentioning here is the use of technology. And when you think about our companies today, as opposed to yesteryear, is that every single company has to have some element of technology to it. So if you're listening out there, you have to start scrutinizing, what are my capabilities from a technological sense? Am I being smart enough, savvy enough? Am I investing in the right things? Now, when we talk about investing in the right things, many of us are not classically trained in technology. That means you have to look at your human capital a little bit different, whether you are a solopreneur or whether you have a small team, and then determine, who am I leaning on for my technology needs? So as it relates to where you are in business, is not only do you have to understand that technology in order to put yourself in prime position, You also have to have the financial resources in order to either be able to build them or purchase them, then be able to implement them, and obviously eventually be able to control that process. So if you're behind the eight ball, in which it sounds like a portion of your operation is behind the eight ball on this, this is essentially acting as an anvil or an anchor around your ankle that won't allow you to be able to move forward because you're missing these different pieces of technology, right?
Correct.
So from there, number one is always funding. You know, I probably need financing. So am I self-funding that? Is someone else assisting me with that? Am I going to go into, you know, am I looking at debt financing? Am I looking at investment? How do I even make the determination? And a lot of the calls that we get as a business hospital is that potential clients or clients call us, and one of the top two things that we hear on a daily basis is I need funding or I need marketing. That's what everyone feels that they need. Well, when you look at the financial portion of it, is number one, how much financial resource do you think you need to be able to execute that technological aspect? And then how do you differentiate what is needed now versus what is needed later? That takes someone with some good technical sense and someone that can employ vision mapping by being able to look at the future and work yourself back and say, okay, what can I get away with now that allows me to work in a suitable manner? And then what do I need to develop moving forward? So in your case, what I would begin with if I was doing this assessment, if you were a client of ours, is I would say, how much of that technology right now do you need? And I don't need exact numbers, so let's just play with hypothetical numbers. Let's say the technology you need costs $50,000. Well, if that's the case, do you need all $50,000 right now? Can you piece it together with 10 or 25? What does that look like? Are there percentages that you can deal with now versus later?
There's percentages. So the total amount of the software is, when I'm at full capacity, what I envision will be about $40,000, but need about half of that before, in order to really get in the door for that next level. I already did my research with different vendors because that I'm not an IT person, but I have helped to conceptualize this type of software, so I know exactly pretty much what I need right now, and I already have that kind of outlined out, what that would look like, the type of interfacing, and have
pretty great conversations
with a couple of vendors that I've narrowed it down to, but now it's just really more of the funding need is probably the main thing, and the software will be where I will have a license, negotiated a cheaper price, because the vendors are, this is a new market sector for them. So we kind of bartered some on the, you know, on the pricing, and they're willing to adjust it to a version 2 later down the line.
Okay, and so that would suggest, if you're talking about licensing, that not only will you be paying for that upfront, but you'll also be paying an annual price in order to have access to the licensing. Is that correct?
Correct.
Has there been a cost analysis to determine if it's more advantageous for you to be able to build the software yourself and then own the assets yourself?
Yes.
And so when you look at those cost analysis side by side.
Eventually, yes, I want to get to the point where I would build it myself, but I know that that cost versus what I can do with the vendor, it's a better route for me right now for the vendor, to go through the vendor.
Okay. So that's one logic. And we're not saying it's the best. We're not saying it's the worst. It's only one path that you can take. So let me challenge those thought processes some. So let's say, for an example, absolutely. And that's why we always challenge them, is that let's say, for an example, the infusion of cash will come from an investment. So therefore, now you're looking at different investors, whether you're talking venture capital, angel investment, just a basic accredited investor. Now you're looking at what things do you own? What assets are they? What type of returns do exist? And then how will you be able to leverage that to be able to bring back high-level yields? So what that means is, well, if I need these dollars, is it better for me to say, look, I can spend $40,000, get what I want, have the licensing, or why don't I spend $100,000, own the assets, be able to leverage that in the communities and businesses that I'm bidding on, and then be able to get a 10x return on that. That might be attractive to an investor, especially if you have demonstrable success and you're able to outline the metrics that are going to lead to extensive and exponential revenue. So that would be one aspect. Or you might say, no, I don't want to take investment because taking investment also makes you divest in your company and you're going to have scrutiny because you have to please the investor. So you might say, I want to debt finance it. I want to make sure that I go out and I secure the money. I'm going to bet on myself, and therefore I'm going to start with the licensing, take the smaller amount, put that back into the business, and as my revenues increase, I'm going to reinvest that to make sure that I have my own assets. But in doing that, you're assuming much more of the risk, and you have to make sure that there's no other aspects to your business that you're going to have to self-fund in the event that you tap yourself out with this level of self-funding. And so that's just two ways of probably 10 ways that I'm thinking about right now that you could go about funding this potential aspect of your business. Now, when it comes to financing that, that also can be very difficult because when you look at debt financing, well, now you have to guarantee that loan. Even if your business credit is sound, we're in a climate now where banks are looking at the individual to be able to operate as a guarantor. And in that case, how much is that debt-to-income ratio? How much credit can be pushed upon on the individual along with the business? And then how many banks are willing to lend, especially during this time? We've seen individuals with great credit and great paperwork not even be able to finish the purchasing of a new house during this time because banks have frozen some of their assets due to PPP, EIDL, and other lending initiatives that are going on right now. So that could be very complicated. So that means that you may have to turn to alternative lending. You may have to turn to specialized lending entities. As the business hospital, we essentially have every single division and wing you can think of. So we also have a financing wing in our business hospital. And one of the entities that we use for that is Dr. Robert Watkins. He's down in Atlanta, and our Atlanta hospital uses him for these types of lending opportunities. The name of his company is called Conquer Worldwide, and he specializes in making sure that there's financing for businesses that kind of fall through the cracks. So maybe your deposits aren't exactly where you want them to be during the time frame. Your credit is sound or at least good enough to lend on, but simultaneously a traditional lender may not want to lend based on risk factors and other ancillary issues, but Conquer Worldwide potentially would be. Right, they don't give you enough money. And so, you know, when you look at that trick, you'll go in there and ask for $40,000, they'll approve you for $10,000, and they'll say, we gave you an approval. And their approval rating will be high because they did, in fact, approve you, but the net effect is a decline because you can't use that amount of money to accomplish the goal. And so you're 100% correct on that. And so in that case, hopefully that thinking about what is the best way for me to operate this business for the long term, let that determine the process in which you go out to be able to secure the funding and then how you're going to be able to execute that funding. Does that logic make good sense to you?
Yes.
So let me ask this question, and as it relates to the timing of the funding, is that in the event that you don't secure the appropriate amount of funding right now in this quarter, so let's say the next 30 days, 60 days, does that mean that the company implodes? Does it mean that the company just goes in reverse and kind of sits in a valley? Or is it just a missed opportunity, but the company still exists in a way that allows you to thrive?
It will still exist. This particular project is probably about 6 months out, but you need to have everything in place in the next 90 days. In order to be at the table for that opportunity. And it's one of those projects where it's longer term. In dealing with the consulting side, and you're not, and it's professional services, not widgets, it's a little bit harder in a sense to get longer term projects. in my experience, a lot of times they are 3 months or 6 months or a couple months. This one would be a couple years. So that would kind of give me some steady cash flow. The technology will allow me to keep, like, some of the overhead expenses probably almost cut in half, like such as travel and being on site for the project, because that particular project's out of town. So that's kind of where that is. But the company will still go because, as I said, the range of services that I provide when one area is a peak, it might be a slow time for the other category. But they all kind of balance each other out throughout the course of the year.
Okay, so what it really does, the net effect is that it stops you from being in that prime position, but you can also continue to work in that secondary or subcontracting position that you've already occupied.
Correct.
Okay, so when we're looking at the overall aspect of scale, how are you looking to reposition yourself? Now we have to look at your financial health analysis to determine which direction you can go in. And when I say your financial health analysis, is that putting in a forecast, putting in the assumptions to be able to determine which direction you need to go in. And that's really not, and I would imagine you've been able to do this considering all the projects that you've been a part of. But for those that are listening, is that it's looking at all of the parameters in and around the new product, the new service, the new concept that you're looking to employ, and then working well into the future to be able to determine, okay, how many of these costs are going to spider web out that will either prevent me from being able to execute, or what do I need to understand to create the appropriate amount of runway? What I would also caution about you specifically here, since you are not a tech person, even though you've done your due diligence, you've worked in that space, I would actually scrutinize a little bit harder to make sure that I'm not getting something that's a Band-Aid as a technology solution, but I'm actually getting something that serves as a cure that will also make me stronger. And so looking at those things with a tech expert, for an example, in our business hospital, we have multiple tech experts. One that we lean on a regular basis is Adam Lewis inside of our tech wing. And in that case, we've been challenged how these processes and products are made. And then not to mention, how are you going to use them for your own benefit? So sometimes you're making purchases, and I'll give an example of one of our clients. They had been using a technology for a few years, only for us to be able to go in and dissect the technology, and about 12% of the usage of it is what they were using, but they're obviously paying for 100% of it. So it might be better just to build the 12% you need, forsake the rest, and then minimize your cost. So in that case, when you're looking at the price point of something, you might think, oh, I need this whole thing. But in actuality, you might only need a portion of it. And so therefore, a good technological challenge of how the process works becomes really prudent in your financial decision making. Does that make good sense to you there? Absolutely. So
really
from there,
looking at the investor option, because I wasn't thinking of it as a longer term in regards to ownership. So of getting ownership of the technology. So thank you for that as well.
Well, absolutely. When you're thinking about technology, and this is one thing that many entrepreneurs, startup founders, small business owners tend to neglect, is that if you have a concept or you're looking at technology, it's still very much the same as looking at real estate. Sometimes it's in your best benefit to rent or lease, and sometimes it's in your best benefit to buy or build. And technology is the same thing. So you'll hear a lot of times people say, well, don't reinvent the wheel. And yeah, you don't want to have to reinvent the wheel in the event that the wheel that's already created benefits you most. But in some cases, you may have to build a different type of wheel that allows you to be able to travel faster. And so it takes a person that specializes in those different fields to be able to help you identify what is needed as opposed to what isn't, so that you can make a smarter decision for your business. And a lot of times what gets missed is that since we are very good at what we do, but we need something else outside of that framework, we then bundle that into, well, I should know what's best for my business, but really we don't know what's best for that particular thing. Best example I can give you, or generic example, is in health and wellness. You might recognize how to lift a weight or jog or run, but your nutrition still might be something different. And it would take a nutritionist or a physician to help you with your body composition to be able to maximize what you're trying to do in health and wellness. Well, in business, it's the same thing. So you know your space, but the tech part or the investment part may be outside of your space. Now we have to seek assistance there to be able to make sure that all the pieces are fitting and that you're not fragmenting your decision making.
Correct. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, Mrs.
That's
Twitty.
One of the reasons why I called you. And I do call some
absolutely.
Of my techie friends. I'm unlike probably most, a lot of entrepreneurs, I know what areas are not my lane of expertise that I'm not a master at. And I have no problem asking questions or seeking help in those areas. And even in the areas that I'm stronger at, I don't mind bouncing ideas. You know, I have kind of like my board of directors so that I can get different perspectives as well to keep me fresh. So
absolutely. Well, Ms. Twitty, thank you so much for calling in today. For the sake of our time, we got to go. We got to transition. But everyone, thanks a lot for listening to Doctor's Orders this week. I am Dr. J.C. Baker of J.C. Baker & Associates. You can find us on www.jcbaker.org. We hope that your businesses stay healthy, and we hope you stay safe and healthy. Thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to the Resource Network. If you would like additional information about the subjects we covered today, or if you want information about the Minority Business Assistance Center, a program that provides MBE, EDGE, and VBE certifications, business planning, access to capital, and bonding, as well as business professional training, please call me, Deborah Davis, at 513-751-9900, or visit us at www.mbacsensi.com. Or drop in at the African American Chamber of Commerce, 2303 Gilbert Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio. Program theme music provided by Timeless Recording Studios. Jamil Zion, singer and songwriter, and Chris Turner, producer and chief engineer.